This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, January 1, 2014, The Solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God, by Father William Doc Holliday.
When the time had fully come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, for both our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Evening, everyone. This blessed feast day of Mary, the Mother of God. This is a day, the octave of Christmas Day. Historically, the Church has really kind of emphasized three different things on this particular day. One being Jesus' fulfillment of the law in coming for us, this painful and humiliating act of circumcision that He endured. A lot of people think that Jesus came down from heaven and that up until the cross He had a pretty good Jesus life. No, His suffering started in the manger. Just the mere fact that He came and dwelt among us was one thing of humiliation, God stepping down from heaven into this place. But even more so, right from the very get-go, 8 days after He was born, He undergoes again a painful and humiliating ritual experience. So He started His blood shedding at 8 days old. The Church emphasizes that. They've also emphasized the Holy Name, which we will several days from now, but this octave day was historically and traditionally a day in which the Holy Name was venerated. But tonight what I want to talk about, and this is where the Church has geared this solemnity now, it's titled technically the Solemnity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, and it is emphasizing her divine maternity, the integration that we have of the Blessed Virgin Mary with our salvation. Before we even get started, I want to point out something. And it has to do with the translational thing. I try not to go here this often, but it bears some discussion in this particular case. The lectionary that we use is from a more modern translation, the RSV Catholic edition of the lectionary. And most of your contemporary, subsequent to the 1950s, all your translations that have come about are translations that they usually translate this passage in Galatians that in the fullness of time, Christ was born of a woman, born under the law. If you really want to get technical, the Greek and the Latin, it's used, Greek specifically in the original languages, the Greek word is not so much the objective born, but the more abstract made. There's a different Greek word for being born. For instance, in Luke chapter 2, when the angels appear to the shepherds and they say, on this day is born to you in the city of David, the Savior, which is Christ the Lord, the word there, it means born, objectively. A baby is born of a woman. That's not the case with this word that is used in Galatians. It is a different word, and it is more, again, more abstract. It's more being made, more the assumption of human condition. Not being born, per se. So it kind of loses it if you say, in the fullness of time, he was born of a woman. It should be more in the older translation, more correctly, he was made of a woman. For instance, in our creed, whenever we say the creed during Mass, it is always verbum caro factum est. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That is the same word that's used in Galatians. It's made, again, assuming human flesh, not the act of being born, which kind of loses something if you don't get really specific about it. So, again, there's a more specific word for born. What God is saying here, through His Holy Spirit and through Scriptures, He's integrating the importance of the Blessed Virgin Mary with our salvation. Because notice He says that in the fullness of time He was made of a woman, made under the law. Why? To redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Our Lord Jesus Christ, that was His sole mission, is to come, be born in Bethlehem, to live a sinless life for us, and to die, and then give us by His grace and His grace alone the opportunity to get into heaven. We can no way merit it or no way earn it in any way, shape, or form. You cannot buy your way into heaven. You cannot earn your way into heaven. You have to go through God's plan. And God's plan was that in the fullness of time, his salvation would come through a woman. And this is why I want to emphasize this idea of this, the word being made. Because if you talk about in the fullness of time that our Lord Jesus Christ was born of a woman, you can come up with all kind of esoteric philosophies or conjectures about what happened. You know, the Holy Spirit just overshadowed Mary and sort of, you know, Jesus just sort of appeared in her womb. You can go there if it's born of a woman, but when you talk about being made of a woman, you understand that Mary's flesh is the flesh that hung on the cross. Jesus Christ did not have a father. All that flesh that he has was given to him by Mary. And then a lot of our Protestant friends like to talk to us and say, well, God could have picked any woman to do that. You make our point. He could have picked any woman to do that, but who did he choose? The Blessed Virgin Mary. That's why she had to be immaculately conceived. That's why she was, after all this was over, because of her faith and obedience, assumed body and soul into heaven. She is integral with our salvation, and we have to appreciate that. That's why there is such the veneration of the Blessed Mother. Because a lot of people say how much she is related to our Lord Jesus Christ, how close she was to him. Yes, obviously she was his mother. Obviously. But it's even more than that. He took upon himself, the flesh that he assumed was the flesh of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So we have to appreciate that. We have to appreciate the integral nature of who she is in a matter of our salvation. Because it is all about Jesus Christ, our salvation, all about him. But if there is no Mary, there is no Jesus. That's how important she is to us. This is the utmost importance in our faith. It's interesting to say that St. Ambrose, in the early church, one of the earliest church fathers, St. Ambrose, who was instrumental in bringing St. Augustine, the big theologian, into the church from his life of sin, he says, and I quote, when you're talking about the shepherds who come to her, if Mary herself learns from the shepherds, why do so many people not refuse to learn from the shepherds of the church? It's really interesting to think about that because, you know, the church has taught since its inception the integral nature of the Blessed Virgin Mary with our salvation. The church from the earliest times has done that. If the Blessed Mother herself, the sinless one, if she would ponder in her heart what the shepherds told her, and she would meditate upon it, who are we to not ponder what the shepherds that God has put over his church have told us for over 2,000 years? Why do we want to embrace something that discounts Mary? Because in her own Magnificat, in Luke 2, those aren't Mary's words. They are the Holy Spirit's words through her. She prophesied that from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Notice she doesn't say, from henceforth all Catholics will call me blessed. Or from henceforth all people who have a distinct Marian devotion will call me blessed. She says, this is God speaking through her. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, she says, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. So what happens to those who do not? Where do they account themselves? If the Holy Spirit speaking through Mary says, from henceforth all generations shall call her blessed. When those shepherds come to her, and the angel spoke to the shepherds while they were out in their fields, tending their flocks by night, as we hear in the poetic King James Version. The shepherds appear to Mary, the angels appear to the shepherds, and they give them all these instructions as to what has happened. Again, on this day is born to you in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, the one who is going to save the world from her sins, not just the people of Israel, but to move everyone who ever will be in heaven from darkness into light. That child is being born in Bethlehem. And they go to see if what the angels have said is true, and they get there, and it is just as they told them. And it says when the shepherds tell Mary and Joseph this, and all who are standing around, when they relate this story, she ponders these things in her heart. She stores them up. That should tell us something about our own prayer lives, really. It should, the way we approach this whole thing. is what is prayer, is communication with God, talking with God. And if Mary, the Blessed Virgin, if she studies and ponders and stores up in her heart what these shepherds have told us, it gives us sort of a, she's always our example. We ought to do that in our own prayer lives. When you hear something, study it. Pay attention to it objectively. Read it. Read some commentaries on it. Prayerfully consider it. That's when you go from study to pondering, to meditating upon things. And after you meditating upon for a while, that's when you find it that in your heart you embrace it. And that's when it's stored up in your heart. Again, if we use Our Lady as an example for doing that, it would bring us phenomenally closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. Because with she did, we will be well on our way to being what you could call meditative about things. And that's where we want to go. We want to ponder these things that our Lord has told us. So, I'll end with this. If you think about the Blessed Virgin Mary, again, if you have questions, what's the emphasis? Because you hear, our friends like that, they worship Mary. We don't worship Mary. There's only one worthy of worship, and that is the blessed and undivided Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We do not worship Mary. She would be aghast if we worshiped her. That we do venerate her. And why do we venerate her? Is it because of her innate goodness? No, it's because of what God did through her, just like any of the other saints. But she was different in that she was sinless, and she was different in that she provided the flesh through which our redemption is made. That's why we venerate her so much and so very often. Because if we don't, again, we don't account ourselves in the company of those who from henceforth, all generations, will call her blessed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.